This past week, I've been flipping around the channels on the television and found myself drawn more than once to the PBS special, The War. As I've watched parts of this documentary, I'm wondering about that conflict in our world today. Part of the struggle with the world at that time was the same as it is today. There was a lack of clarity. It was hard to see where the world would go in 10 years, and many things that seem clear today were not. Take, for example, Hitler. 70 years ago, he was exalted, but in retrospect, he was a psychopath. In fact, a little less than 70 years ago, it was reported in Time magazine that the greatest single news event of 1938 took place on September 29th, when four statesmen met at Führerhaus in Munich to redraw the map of Europe. The three visiting statesmen at that historic conference were Neville Chamberlain of Great Britain, the Premier of France, Benito Mussolini of Italy, but you guessed it, Adolf Hitler was the one who dominated. He was at that time Führer of the German people, Commander-in-Chief of the German Army, Navy, and Air Force, Chancellor of the Third Reich, and Hitler reportedly reaped on that day at Munich a, quote, harvest of audacious, defiant, ruthless foreign policy he had pursued for 5.5 years. He had torn the Treaty of Versailles to shreds. He had armed Germany to the teeth. Thus, even though these powers had defeated Germany less than 20 years earlier, all of a sudden it was Germany that was now dictating how the world would be, and Hitler was considered to be miraculous in his foreign policy, getting the borders redrawn with regards to Czechoslovakia, being able to absorb Austria, and being able to look eastward for further expansion. It seems at this time that the greatness of this man was not based on his moral character. The same article mentions that he was overseeing the torture of hundreds of thousands of Jews and others at the time. The clarity of admiration for Hitler by the American press seems absurd, given what we know would occur in the following years. Yet perhaps that is what allowed this man to become as dangerous as he did. He knew how to use the anti-Semitic icons of Henry Ford and Charles Lindbergh to his advantage. In that same year, 1938, both of these American heroes were decorated by the German government based on Hitler's admiration for them. As we watched this week, I was thinking of this issue of Time magazine and its potential bearing on today. This past week, we watched as the leader of another country, Iran, one that is dedicated to the destruction of the State of Israel through its proxy, Hezbollah, had its president invited to speak at Columbia University. Ahmadinejad was invited to speak while visiting New York City, and his visit caused a fracas in the media. Mayor Bloomberg decided not to allow him to lay a wreath at Ground Zero, which was more about symbolism than actual involvement in the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. Then there was the visit to Columbia University. The president of Columbia, Bollinger, attempted to confront the Iranian president. He challenged him especially on Israel and terrorism. On Israel, he said, quote, 12 days ago you said that the state of Israel cannot continue its life. This echoed a number of inflammatory statements you've delivered in the past 2 years, including in October 2005, when you said that Israel should be wiped off the map. Columbia has over 800 alumni currently living in Israel. As an institution, we have deep ties with our colleagues there. I personally have spoken out in the most forceful terms against proposals to boycott Israeli scholars and universities, saying that such boycotts might as well include Columbia. More than 400 college and university presidents in this country have joined in that statement. My question then is, do you plan on wiping us off the map too? On funding terrorism, According to reports by the Council on Foreign Relations, it's well documented that Iran is a state sponsor of terror that funds such violent groups as the Lebanese Hezbollah, which Iran helped organize in the 1980s, the Palestinian Hamas, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. While your predecessor government was instrumental in providing the U.S. with intelligence and base support in its 2001 campaign against the Taliban in Afghanistan, your government is now undermining American troops in Iraq by funding, arming, and providing safe transit to insurgent leaders like Muqtada al-Sadr and his forces. There are a number of reports that also link your government with Syria's efforts to destabilize the fledgling Lebanese government through violence and political assassination. My question is this: why do you support well-documented terrorist organizations that continue to strike at peace and democracy in the Middle East, destroying lives and civil society in the region? Unquote. This was a noble, if not perhaps misguided, attempt to confront the president of Iran. Noble because of the confrontation, misguided because of the result. I'm sure that President Bollinger hoped, maybe even thought, that Ahmadinejad would, at least as a matter of courtesy, respond to something in his questions. But that was not what Ahmadinejad had in mind. That's not what he had come to Colombia to do. He wanted the spotlight and controversy, and he knew his visit would cause these things. And President Bollinger gave him everything he wanted. The platform allowed for the following exchange to take place. Ahmadinejad: we are a peaceful, loving nation. We love all nations. Moderator: Mr. President, your statements here today and in the past have provoked many questions, which I would like to pose to you on behalf of the students and faculty who have submitted them to me. Let me begin with the question to which you just alluded, Ahmadinejad. Just one by one, could you just... Moderator, yes. Moderator, the first question is, do you or your government seek the destruction of the State of Israel as a Jewish state? Ahmadinejad, through translator: we love all nations. We are friends with the Jewish people. There are many Jews in Iran living peacefully with security. My comment: so some of his best friends are Jewish. Ahmadinejad continued: you must understand that in our constitution and our laws and in the parliamentary elections for every 150,000 people, we get one representative in the parliament. For the Jewish community, for one-fifth of this number, they still get one independent representative in the parliament. My comment:
President Ahmadinejad, we did not ask you for a parliamentary lesson on how your country runs. We asked you simply a yes or no question with regards to Israel. Please answer the question.
So our proposal to the Palestinian plight is a humanitarian and democratic proposal. What we say is that to solve the 60-year problem, we must allow the Palestinian people to decide about its future for itself. This is compatible with the spirit of the Charter of the United Nations and the fundamental principles enshrined in it. We must allow Jewish Palestinians, Muslim Palestinians, and Christian Palestinians to determine their own fate themselves through a free referendum. My sidebar comment: So you can't be an Israeli and be a Palestinian at the same time. Ahmadinejad continued: whatever they choose as a nation, everyone should accept and respect. Nobody should interfere in the affairs of the Palestinian nation. Nobody should sow the seeds of discord. Nobody should spend tens of billions of dollars equipping and arming one group there. We say allow the Palestinian nation to decide its own future, to have the right to self-determination for itself. This is what we are saying as the Iranian nation. Moderator: Mr. President, I think many members of our audience would like to hear a clearer answer to that question. That is, the question is, do you or your government seek the destruction of the State of Israel as a Jewish state? And I think you could answer that question with a single word, either yes or no. Ahmadinejad through translator. You ask the question and then you want the answer the way you want to hear it. Well, that this isn't really a free flow of information. I'm just telling you what my position is. I'm asking you, is the Palestinian issue not an international issue of prominence or not? Please tell me, yes or no. There's the plight of the people. The answer to your question is yes. Well, then thank you for your cooperation. We recognize there's a problem there that's been going on for 60 years. Everybody provides a solution, and our solution is a free referendum. How do we relate all this back to our holiday Sukkot, which we are in the midst of at the moment? It is a time when we are supposed to live in frail huts and celebrate by being happy. This week I wondered about how happy one could be with the likes of a President Ahmadinejad being welcomed at Columbia University to deliver a speech that was, at best, convoluted, and probably more of a media stunt than a real talk. Clearly, Ahmadinejad only wants to answer the questions he wants to be asked. And if you happen to assert the right of Israel to exist, you aren't asking him a fair question. Of course, I also wonder about that Time magazine issued almost 70 years ago. Admired for his vision, Hitler was given this award by our media. And then he attempted to destroy the United States and any democracy he could find in the first half of the 1940s. And in the process of destroying that democracy, destroying the very media that had awarded him that honor. I fear that visits in the name of understanding turn into events where each uses the situation like the one this past week to their own advantage. We are led to think, well, we are smart, rational people. Smart, rational people go to university, and Columbia is one of our greatest universities. They invited him to speak. Could he be that bad? The Iranians, on the other hand, probably sit back and wonder, how foolish could America be that one of the top universities in their country invites our president, sworn enemy of their country in Israel, to speak? I fear that we are heading for a similar misunderstanding that once resulted in a world war. Sadly, if this is the case, we may all be facing the fragility that we sense in the sukkah, in our homes, and our lives. I hope not, but I'm wondering if the same misunderstanding that led a Hitler to believe that he was so wonderful that he could take over the world might be extended to other people who suffer from their own megalomania. Shabbat Shalom. Music you hear on this podcast is from Magnatunes.com and the groups Yaleh and Panacea. Please go out there and check out their website. They have some wonderful tunes, and if you can download and purchase a copy for yourself from Magnatunes.com.